time as this. And you know what? Marlene is still a pastor, and she's still going to be working with us. Right, Marlene? Yes. So Miguel and I are very privileged to have her, and you are too, to have her as your pastor. Amen. So thank you so much, Marlene. In fact, Marlene went on a little vacation, the first one in more than a year, and we are petrified, Miguel and I. What would we do for a week? Somehow, we made it through. Let's have prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we're grateful to be gathered here one more time in your name. And Lord, would you do what only you can do, and that is to stir us, to bring forth in our hearts and our minds what you want us to realize about you and compel us what you want us to do, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're looking for a good book to read about prayer, it's called Daring to Ask for More. It came out about a year ago, Pacific Press. You can get this at, you know, the ABC or Amazon. Excellent book about prayer. I'm going to put this over here. I can't give this away because this is my copy, but great stories, illustrations about prayer and what prayer is all about. That book, I encourage you to read. In that book, there is a story I have to share about a pastor who was serving in Vietnam. He was actually a lay pastor, and he had a house church, but that's really what they do there. And so this house church decided that they had a heart for the lost. They realized that many do not even know Jesus Christ. Well, within that house church, there was some members who had relatives in a remote village 150 miles away, and they said, could we pray for that village for someone to come to Jesus? In fact, there were no Christians in that village. And so they said, all right, as a church, let's begin to pray intercessory prayers for this remote village. Would they know that they were praying for them? No. They began to pray. Well, 2 weeks later, a relative of one of the church members got sick. And as it turns out, decided to come to their very town to receive medical care. So the relative said, hey, why don't you stay with us? Her name was Yen. Yen, stay with us. So Yen stayed with them, church members. And eventually they invited her to church. She began to attend. And while she was there, she attended, you know, the doctors that were in the city, and they began to check her out. And while Yen was at church, she began to fall in love with who? Jesus. They gave her her own Bible. She began to read it. And pretty soon she understood that Jesus offers salvation. It's a free gift. And so she accepted Christ. But as it turned out, she actually was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And the doctors offered no treatment. So she decided to go home to die in her village. Well, the church decided they would pray to the master healer. They'd already seen their prayer answered, that one from the village was coming to Christ. They wondered if there would be more, and maybe even a healing. They began to pray. They grabbed a Bible, and they went to Psalms chapter 30, verses 2 and 3, and they claimed this promise as they came together and prayed for her. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. This was a promise that they are claiming for Yen. Terminal cancer. Didn't look very promising. But they prayed. Intercessory prayers. They also said, Lord, if she were to die, who will praise your name in this village? They began to pray more and more for her. Well, after about 4 weeks, a phone call came in to Pastor Han, who learned that she was in a coma state, about to die. They continue to pray for her. And one of the relatives of Yin in the village was the one delivering the message to the pastor. And the pastor said, "You need to pray for Yin." Now, she was not a believer. He said, "I want to encourage you to take her Bible and open up to Psalms, the middle of the Bible, so chapter 30, verses 2 and 3, and claim that promise for her. That's her only chance." There was silence on the other end. The pastor had no idea if, in fact, she would listen. Well, they hung up the phone, and they decided that they would continue to pray for her. And then, as it turned out, they received an invitation to go out to the village. And there was Yin, restored, no longer in a coma, and apparently healed. Now, here we are, 21st century, in a very rich, educated society, and we're scratching our head, wait a minute, that can't be true. 4-stage cancer, healed, come on. More to that story is coming. Kids, the word for today, intercessory prayer. You say, what? Kids, intercessory prayer. Count how many times I say that. Actually, two words, and you will get a special treat after the service. Now, what does it mean, intercessory prayer? What does that mean? Simply praying for others. Today, we are part 4 in our series on prayer entitled Making the Connection. And thus far, we've been reminded that there is no human activity more powerful than the act of prayer. It has been said that when we work, but when we pray, God works. How's your prayer life today? How much time are you spending with the one with the power? As we begin to pray, early on in our walk, what do we typically pray about? Well, we pray about our needs, our wants, our wishes, right? You think of children. What do children pray for? Toys, okay, yes. They pray for the things that they need and want. And that's pretty much where their prayer stops. As they mature, hopefully, they begin to see, hey, you know what? There's other needs out there. Other people are struggling. Same with us as Christians, right? As we grow and mature in our walk with Jesus, hanging out with him more, we begin to have a heart like God does. We begin to see people as God does. We begin to see the struggles like God does. And we begin to pray for others like he does. See, Jesus intercedes for us. In his book, Gray Matter, author and neurosurgeon Dr. Levy describes his journey to intercessory prayer. He said in his relationship with Christ, as it intensified, he began to sense a desire to pray for other people, particularly his patients. And so he wondered, though, what would that do to his reputation? Would he be ridiculed and scoffed at? Would his patients scorn him? Well, one day he had the courage to actually pray with his patient, a patient that was undergoing neurosurgery. And so he offered, he said, patient, can I pray with you? And the patient said, yes, I would love to have you pray with me. And as the doctor prayed for his patient, afterwards, tears filled the eyes of this patient. Apparently, there's power in prayer. Now, you might be thinking, you know, wait a minute, come on. Let's make a time out here. How important is intercessory prayer? I mean, doesn't God already know our needs? Why do I need to pray for someone else? God's already aware. What difference does it make anyway? Apparently, it makes a big difference. And you know what? We know that from the Bible. That's why I want to encourage you to go with me to an exciting story found in the Bible, Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 14. Exodus chapter 17. And here we have an amazing story about the power of intercessory prayer. While you're going there, a little background. Children of Israel are being led by Moses, and they're in the wilderness of sand, surrounded by arid mountains, and they find themselves wandering, and there is a formidable enemy that has been plaguing them, the Amalekites. And as it turns out, this dreaded enemy is threatening to attack them. Exodus chapter 17, beginning in verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. This wasn't the first time the Amalekites had attacked the children of Israel. In fact, a year earlier, the Amalekites teamed up with the Canaanites and they attacked Israel. And guess who won? They did. The Israelites lost. And so here you have part two. And so if there was ever a time of despair and a time to pray, it was now. Verse 9. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Moses, by faith, said, hey, let's raise up an army. Let's face the Amalekites. Let's meet them on the battlefield. But more than that, I'm going to go up with the rod on the hill. I'm going to bring the staff. And you're going to be able to see it. Remember, this is the same staff that turned the Nile into blood. This is the same staff that became a snake. This is the same rod that parted the Red Sea. This is the same rod that when we touched the rock, water came out. Is this a magic rod? No. But it's a symbol to remind you, when you look up in the battle, you'll see the rod that Jesus, that God is with you. But what else was Moses saying when he said, I'm going to go up to the hill with the rod? He was actually saying, I'm going to go up and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to intercede for you on behalf of this battle. I'm going to pray for our citizen soldiers to be victorious against the Amalekites and to protect our troops. I'm going to intercede for you. Exodus chapter 17 and now verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses takes two of his trusted advisors, his friends, his prayer warriors with him, Aaron and Hur. And they go up to this hill, and they were going to begin to do what? Pray over the battle. Interesting that Moses says, I'm going to make it clear that I'm praying for you. He doesn't say, I'm going to go to the tent of meeting and secretly pray. I'm going to visually pray over you so that you can see me during the battle. By the way, lifting up hands, how do we know that that's actually prayer? Well, we know that the Bible makes it clear that David lifted up his hands. Solomon lifted up his hands. Abraham lifted up his hands. The Apostle Paul lifted up his hands when he prayed. So did Moses. And so here we have an act of prayer taking place on this hill. Now I want to point out to you in this sermon, in this story, that there are in fact five reasons why intercessory prayer is critical in your prayer life. Five reasons. Reason number one for intercessory prayer, it makes a difference for them. Apparently, there is a direct correlation between prayer and outcomes in this life. Apparently, when we pray, it can change the course of an event. This ancient story peels back the curtains so that we can see what happens when we pray for somebody or something, and when we stop praying, what happens? I can imagine Moses holding up his hands, and he begins to pray, "Oh Lord, this is your citizen army that was assembled just last night. These are fathers, these are sons, these are not professional soldiers. This army of Israel has been hastily put together to face the Amalekites. Oh Lord," Moses could pray, "Lord, give them strength, give them help, give them success on the battlefield," and continuing on and on. As Moses prays, he begins to see that Israel is winning the war, right? That's what the Bible says. And so, you know, human nature, what do? When we see things going a certain way, you know, and we think, well, I guess it doesn't matter, I will stop praying. And the minute Moses stops praying, what happens? The battle changes course. And now, the Amalekites are winning. And Moses is like, really? I mean, I was praying, there was success, I stopped praying, and now the Amalekites are winning. From his vantage point, perhaps Moses is feeling almost guilty as he sees, you know, wounds inflicted by the Amalekites. He immediately puts his arms back up and continues his intercessory prayer. But the fact is, intercessory prayer takes effort, and it can be tiring. Continues to hold up his hands and pray for an impossible situation. Exodus chapter 17, now verse 11. "For so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." Reason number two for intercessory prayer, it encourages our faith walk. When you are praying specifically for someone else and you're lifting up their need, their struggle, their hurt, their trial, and then you see God work in that situation, hey, that's encouraging. Amen? I mean, it's like, wow, I guess prayer works. You know, I've told you before, every day I have a prayer walk. And during my time of praise and confession and during my time of Thanksgiving and during my time of personal supplication, there is definitely a time for intercession, praying for you, praying for those that are struggling, for difficulties, even for people that don't know Jesus. I mean, I remember seeing some answered prayers even this week. But I'll tell you, when God allows you to see your prayers directly answered, and it's more than coincidental, your faith walk is encouraged. And that's what Moses was allowed, right? He's praying. He's watching the battle. It's going well. He stops praying, and now the battle reverses. Hey, when I pray, positive things happen. By the way, next Sabbath, we're going to talk about a very critical element, the white elephant in the room, I should say, when it comes to prayer, and that is seemingly unanswered prayer next Sabbath. What does the Bible say about that? Number three reason for intercessory prayer, it brings God's victory to others. When we pray, we exercise faith that God is actually going to move upon the situation, right? It's not random. It's an act of trust and a positive outcome. Moses believed that God would give them the victory. But did God guarantee it? The passage does not say anywhere that you will be given victory, Moses. No. Moses, by faith, said, I'm going to pray over this battle. I'm going to bring the rod to remind me that God's staff, his rod, has been victorious in the past. But, you know, it's an act of faith when we pray for someone else that God's going to intervene. And by the way, Joshua still had to fight, didn't he? He still had to lead a battle. He still had to lead the troops. So prayer does not replace human action, which is a reminder that prayer and human action go together. We can't just sit back and pray and not expect that the person's choices have no bearing on our prayers. A person, if we're praying for them, has to make a choice if they will go with the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So Moses, though, is growing tired. He's holding up his hands, but he's getting tired of praying, intercessory prayers. It is tiring. And so something is done. Exodus 17, verse 12. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Moses could not have prayed all day long by himself. And you know what's interesting? Even though Moses is a very righteous man, even his righteousness, you know, because God's in him, wasn't enough to be successful with the intercessory prayer effort. What that tells us is that we need more than one person praying with us when it comes to praying for a person or a cause. There's power when there's more than one. When there's two or three, God does something powerful, even more. Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. And that is why I'm pleased to announce to you a brand new intercessory prayer ministry right here at Pleasant Hill Seventh-day Adventist Church. Because I know that you are prayer warriors. But you know what? We may not know what's going on in our respective lives. How can we pray for one another if we don't know what's happening? And so, beginning this week, we are introducing a prayer chain ministry. Prayer chain. This will be led by our prayer coordinator, Dorothy Rickster. And Dorothy will receive the prayer requests. This may be for you. This may be for someone else. And the idea is that prayer warriors are praying for your needs or the needs of someone that you put on that list. How do we communicate the prayers to Dorothy? Well, two ways. Either you can email those requests or you can put your requests in a prayer box in the foyer. There's a box there that we've just redesigned. You can put your prayer request in there. If it's confidential, then note confidential, and we will be very careful about who sees this. And you can tell us pastors are okay, or if you want elders, or if you want more. Otherwise, if you don't say confidential, we will release this to anyone who wants to participate in the prayer chain. That would be you if you sign up. And what you're doing is saying, hey, I commit to praying for this person, this event, for the next week. There's power in intercessory prayer. There's even more power when we pray together. By the way, we do have prayer going on this campus. I know some of you know, but I just want to affirm what we're already doing. We have prayer on this campus every Sabbath morning at 9:30 in the prayer room. So come, we're going to pray for 15 minutes. We also have prayer Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m. in the prayer room. We also have prayer on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Pastor Marlene is leading that on this campus. We have prayer Sabbath afternoons, I believe, at 2. I think. But you know what? We can even do more prayer. We can pray at our homes. We can pray with each other. We can become a house of prayer. We are one big church family, right? We are in this struggle together, right? We all have the same dream and goal to live forever, forever and ever with Jesus, who's coming soon. So in the meantime, we might as well be praying for one another. Check out this quote from the book Sons and Daughters of God. In calling God our Father, we recognize all his children as our brethren. We are all a part of the great web of humanity, all members of one family. In our petitions, we are to include our neighbors as well as ourselves. No one prays aright who seeks a blessing for himself alone. We're called to pray for others. So Moses and the other key leaders, Aaron and Hur, are engaged in a prayer, intercessory prayer, for this battle. And they can actually see the outcome. When they pray, they see positive results. When they stop praying, they see a reversal. And is there not a battle going on for your soul right now? Is there not a battle going on in marriages? A battle going on to try to take you down with the internet? A battle going on to try to disrupt your faithfulness to Jesus? Is there not a battle going on and raging inside of each one of us, actually? Oh, we like to look like we got it all together. This pastor doesn't have it all together. That's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be praying for one another, lifting each other up. And I'm so grateful when I hear someone say, I'm praying for you. And I hope that you'll continue. And I want to pray for you. Come tell me. There is a battle going on, and I wonder if that battle going on in the Old Testament between the Amalekites and Israel is sort of like a battle of the great controversy between good and evil. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Hey, we're not kidding anybody. We know there's a battle going on. And we need prayer. We need Jesus for one another. Reason number 4 for intercessory prayer, it provides a safe haven in the war zone. Because we all live in a war zone. When it comes to defeating the enemy, there is only one way. Not with our abilities and our discipline and our self-helps. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Steps of Christ says it this way. The darkness of the evil one encloses those who neglect to pray. The whispered temptations of the enemy entice them to sin. And it is all because they do not make use of the privileges that God has them given in the divine appointment of prayer. Exodus chapter 17, now verse 13. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Joshua won the battle. But did Joshua win it? No. We know it was God with him. God's intervention with him, which leads to number 5 reason for intercessory prayer, it invites God's will to be done. Is it possible that the Amalekites could have won that battle on that particular day? What do you think? Is it possible that Israel could have lost the battle? Yeah. Definitely. Absolutely. So what does that tell you and I about prayer? Prayer makes a difference in the outcomes in this life, right? Your prayers stir God, and God begins to act. Now, you know, it kind of makes it look like, you know, God's just sitting there remotely. But apparently the way the rules of engagement work in the great controversy is that God needs to be invited into the battle. Does that make sense? He needs to be given an entrance in so that he can work the outcome according to his will. We saw it. We see it. This battle's going on. Moses is sitting there praying. God's working. Moses stops praying. God withdraws. Moses starts to pray again. God gets involved. It's almost as if Satan and God had this deal where, you know, God said, look, the only way I'm going to get involved and make it a game changer is if my people call me, if they invite me, if they give me the problem. The devil said, okay, fine. But if they don't do that, then I get the outcome. God has a will for each one of us. You know what his greatest will is for every one of us? His greatest desire? Oh, sure, it could be to see us healed, to see our marriages stronger, to see us, you know, with gainful employment. Yeah, he wants to see us, you know, through those difficulties of life. What do you think God's greatest will is for you and me? To be saved. For our salvation. When we are praying intercessory prayers, that's the ultimate will of God. Which means sometimes the way we pray them may not get answered, but God has a plan. Pastor Han, the Vietnamese pastor, who was leading that house church. They'd been praying for Yen, and she had gotten better. She was living in that remote village there, 150 miles away. The church had prayed. She had stage 4 cancer. She was doing better. But then the unexpected happened. Another phone call. The sister-in-law of Yen, desperately talking to the pastor. You're not going to believe it. I don't know what happened, but Yen died. You prayed. Your church prayed. She died. But she continued her story. And so, Pastor, we wrapped her up. First, we cleaned her body. Wrapped her up in her burial clothes. And then it struck me I should try one more thing. She's the non-believer, by the way. So I grabbed her Bible. I went to Psalms 30, like you said. And I read those two verses, verses 2 and 3, and I plugged her name in, claiming the fact that you could bring her back from the dead. And would you believe, Pastor? She started trying to kick the blankets off of her. She actually sat up. Hey, it's in this book here. And there's footnotes. I know that, you know, I mean, I can't be. No, that's not true. Yes, it's true. It's true. It's called a resurrection. It's called the power of intercessory prayer. Does God always raise the dead in our lifetime? No. But can he? Yes. Does he sometimes? Yes. Do we serve a powerful God? Amen, we do. Are we a little skeptical? Grow our faith, Lord Jesus. By the way, the more you pray intercessory prayers, and the more you see little answers here and there, the more your faith grows, and you say, you know what, I guess I could pray some bigger prayers than those little ones. I wonder if we want to be a church like that. I wonder if we're ready to be praying bigger prayers for other people. Could it be that God gives us the gift of intercessory prayer in order to grow us closer to Him, to build our faith and trust in Him? I think so. I think so. You know, when you think about it, the one who gave his hands for you and me is asking you to lift your hands for one another. And isn't that the least we could do? To lift our hands in prayer for a hurting brother or a lost sister. Would you join me in making that commitment in your own heart? Yes, Pastor, I will pray more for others because prayer makes a difference. Lord Jesus, we don't understand it. We don't fully comprehend it. And sometimes we actually doubt it. But, oh, Lord Jesus, prayer is powerful because you are. Lord, I pray that you would bless this congregation. Not by accident that they're here today. And I pray that you would stir us to begin to pray for others like we've never prayed before. And Lord Jesus, I look forward to hearing the testimonies of an incredible answered prayers that will just grow our faith. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with us as we sing hymn number 478.
Since he bids me see.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.